We ask God as you bring understanding, clarity, direction, so we can live purposeful lives that will bring you glory and honor. As we wrap up this series, God, we pray that you connect the dots. You bring enlightenment, bring understanding, bring revelation. Help us by your Spirit, God, to move in the direction that will honor you. Right now, we ask for your grace, your mercy. God, as we wrap this up today, I thank you for insight, revelation, God. Holy Spirit, seal every truth that needs to be sealed. Bring it forth into our hearts, God, so we could be all that you called us to be. Thank you for a new season in our lives. Thank you for a new journey, God. Thank you for grace and boldness to step into it. We give you honor and praise, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have a very, just quickly, I want to highlight a few things through this series just to help everybody just resolve in your heart to say, I'm going out, I'm going to make a difference. All of us are created by God to make a difference in the world. Like I just said, there's not a single person that God created and said, for you, you have nothing to do, just take up space. He didn't save you and never given you assignment. Everybody called by God to be saved, to love Jesus, there's a reason why Jesus called you. So every one of us having unique abilities, unique talents, as we've gone through this past couple months where we've done different assessments for you to find out and figure out, every one of us has something that God has put in us. I believe that just like we've seen in that video, that God is quite interested in what you did with what he put inside you, more than what you did just on your own. Because there is a reason why you have a different set of gifts than me. And there's a reason why I have some that you don't have. There's a reason why even in a family, we all don't have the same set of gifts. There is a reason why God created you the way he did. When we started off this series, understanding your natural design, because design always matches your destiny, understand how we did that, and then moved on to spiritual gifts, you marry those things together, it gives you an understanding of what your calling is. God can never call you to do something that he never equipped you to do in the first place.
Amen.
He doesn't, all these things lead you to your calling. So when we have this question that always goes on, what's my calling, what's my calling, what's my calling, you're waiting for lightning to come out of heaven, you're waiting for Jesus to appear in your house, you're waiting for something spectacular to tell you what you're calling. Now get over it. You now got to figure out your calling, because you know how God designed you. We did that assessment in the beginning, and you know what your gifts are. They line up with what your calling is. Now start doing something with what God gave you. I know this morning that maybe some of us, this is still a fat truth. We don't really embrace it. We're not really putting work into it. We're not really driven to find out what are we, who are we, what did God put in us. Maybe because we just don't think we're that special enough God to work through us. As a matter of fact, there's some people that may not feel qualified. Because you don't feel qualified, you may not put in the time and the effort to find out what did God put inside you. Well, I'm glad you feel disqualified, because when Jesus called people, he didn't call the qualified. He found those who were disqualified, that people didn't count a lot out of them, and he called them. And so he still does the same. You see, the Bible says, here's one of our scriptures this morning, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are. Okay, that includes you. For we are his workmanship. Now, I know, I mean, let me get some involvement. When you see the word workmanship, what comes to mind? What comes to your mind?
Something you made,
okay.
Crafted item.
Something you crafted, okay.
Creation.
Creation, okay. Workmanship.
Something.
something you put yourself into making. Okay, you see, it doesn't say for we are his product. It says we are his workmanship. You see, a product is something that is massively produced. You see, they make those chairs, that chair is a product. But you can look at a certain chair and say that chair is a workmanship. Yeah. Does that make sense? Because of all the details in the chair. Yeah. And a chair that is a product and a chair that is a workmanship, will they cost the same?
No.
No. Do you? I want you to imagine what you think as workmanship. It's something that the creator would put effort, detail, thought, focus, uniqueness in making. It is not something that he just massively produced. You see, when God created us, he did not massively produce us. Because if it did, we all look the same. And that would be horrible. You'd be like, yeah, you're all Tom number one, Tom number two, Tom number three. I mean, it would be horrible, right? But he did not massively produce us. He workmanshiply produces, if that's a word, because he made you unique and different and designed you, because that's why there's nobody, even with 7 billion people in the world, no one will ever be like you or is like you. So you are his workmanship. Now, take that in. Let it soak in, because we grow up in life, people talking down on us, people telling us how not good we are, people telling us how we're not qualified. Maybe our teachers told us we didn't count for anything. Maybe they passed us on promotions and we said, well, I guess I can't be promoted because I'm not that great. And we forget that despite what people call you or think you are, God says you are my workmanship. Okay? He says, created in Christ Jesus. Now, there is no better place to be created than in Jesus. Because there's no other name, there's no other platform, there's no other level, any other standard above Jesus. So, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works. Now, remember the Bible says we are not saved by good works. Good works are not bad. They're only not good if you're trying to attain salvation. But the good works is talking about are not works to get salvation, but works from salvation. So now that I am saved, there are good works that come out of me. What are those good works? Which God prepared beforehand. So God didn't just say, oh my goodness, Dion is born, so let's figure out what she's going to do. Let's try to put some in her. No, the Bible says beforehand. That means before your mama met your daddy. That means before your grandparents met each other. That before generations before you. He said beforehand, I knew you. I created you. You're my workmanship. And I put my gifts and talents in you that you should walk in them. You should walk in them. So what good is it you and I are living life if you never walk in the works that God prepared beforehand for us to walk in? What if I spend my whole life just living for myself, trying to make a living, trying to get a good retirement, trying to be able to travel the world and live in a yacht and live in a good house and drive a Lamborghini? I'm not saying all that is wrong, but what good is it if all that is so far from what God ever intended you to walk in? So it is more important that you and I understand that God had me on his mind before even my dad had my mom on her mind. And he crafted me and he put something in me and I have to live it out. I should walk in them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Here's what it says. That is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, each has received a gift And I'm thankful how God detailed in His Word is, because many of us think, if I can't sing, I can't talk on the mic, maybe I don't have anything. The Bible says each, everyone, everybody. I'm talking about everyone, because each means everybody. Each has received a gift. And the Bible says, use it. Now, if you did that spiritual gift assessment, you got to use it. Don't say, well, I did my assessment and I found out that I have helps as one of my gifts. Then what are you going to do with it? Are you just going to sit on it? The Bible says, don't sit on it. Use it. Oh, but I'm shy. Get over it. We were all shy at one time. Oh, I get nervous. Can you imagine standing before God and saying, God says, did you use it? God, I was shy. How's that going to fly? Oh, I was nervous. How's that going to fly before God? When He calls your name and says, I put some special in you, special abilities and talents and gifts, did you use them? You can't say I was shy. You can't say I had no time. You can't say I was busy working. You can't say my company needed me so much, I had so much overtime taken that I never did what you want me to do. You can't do that. As each of you has received a gift, use it. You see, we all react best on our gifts and talent. For instance, if I was around this table, let me use this for illustration. And I was around and I tipped this table and all the communion was on the floor and everything fell on the floor. You all react best on your gift. Because you don't have a gift of helps, you just look at it. Like, oh. But a person with a gift of helps will jump out of the chair and come get ready to clean it up.
That's why.
That's true.
Because you don't have a teaching gift, you won't try to think why it happened. Well, somebody with a teaching gift is like, the reason that happened was because you got so close, and if you didn't move your hand to the right, that wouldn't have tipped over.
That's right.
Because you have a teaching gift. Well, somebody with a gift of discernment will be like, you know, I saw that coming. When he got us, I just saw him. I knew something was about to happen. Because your gift of discernment begins to work. Well, the person with the gift of administration says, okay, hold up, we have a mess. Okay, you go to the kitchen, pick up some tissues and napkins. You go to the store, get more juice. You clean up this. They begin to assign everyone something to do because they have the gift of administration. Make sense? You see, everybody, the one with the gift of generosity, like, don't worry about it, I'll go buy some more. Well, someone else like, I don't know what to do. But your gift begins to work. You see? So, and then the person with the gift of mercy and compassion, some of you, if you don't have that gift, you'll be like, what was he thinking? Didn't he see he was getting close to it? But the person with the gift of mercy will come, oh, don't worry, it's okay, no big deal. You know, it's all right. It's just come in. Don't feel bad. That gift begins to operate. We all react in life based on how God designed us and the gifts inside of us, and we have to use those gifts for the glory of God. Now, look at this. Use it. You got to use it. You can't sit on it. Use it to serve one another. Why? Because you can't serve God without serving others. Everybody serves somebody. Right? Everybody serves somebody. If you can't serve anybody, you can't serve God. The reason why God puts you in community is so you can serve others. You can never serve God in isolation. Make sense? because God puts you in community so you can serve somebody, because you can't serve God without serving others. We serve God by serving other people. It says, as good stewards. Good stewards. Look at me. As what? Good stewards of God's grace. Gifts are graces of God. God puts gifts in you. That is His grace on your life. To be able to do things that others cannot do. He says, be a good steward of that which I have put in you. The gift in you is the grace of God. Does that make sense? The gift in you is the grace of God. Now, maybe you'll seek it better if you turn to your neighbor and tell him the gift in you is the grace of God. Help me do that. Now, did you believe it?
Yeah, harsh one.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Yeah, and you know, because sometimes you hear things, but I just hope it goes in. I mean, it's like the gift in you that you found out by doing that exercise is the grace of God on your life. Grace to enable you to do things. Now, Sonia's been not feeling well this past week, so they had to bring her computer from work. Somebody had to bring her work computer to the house. Now, computers, you'd say, are computers. She has a personal computer, but with her personal computer, she cannot do her work. Because her work computer has grace to do work that she cannot do with her personal computer, because her personal computer has not been graced by her employer to do the work her employer hired her to do. So her employer says, in order for you to do the work I need you to do, I don't want you to use your own computer, because your own computer never gave you the grace to do the work I assigned you to do. Because I'm your employer, I'm your boss, I'll give you the resources you need that have grace for you to do what I called you to do, what I pay you to do. So therefore, here is a computer. All computers are computers, but you can't use that because it doesn't have the grace to do what I called it to do. Now imagine, God says, because I created you and I called you, in order for you to do what I designed you to do, you can't do what I designed to do unless I give you the grace to do what I called you to do. And therefore, I give you grace to do what I called you to do. So when you stand before me, you can't tell me why you never did it, that it was my fault, because I did my part and I gave you the grace. No, why did you do with the grace I gave you? So that's why it matters for you to know your gift and use it, because it's grace. Because it's grace that somebody else doesn't have. But you have it. See, I used to like sing, you know, because I like to worship, you know. So I started off even in church, I was like singing, like leading praise and worship. And I thought I was all right. But nobody told me I was all right, but I thought I was. The funny thing is, nobody wanted to hear me sing. But I like to hear myself sing. Why? Because if nobody tells me that I can sing, doesn't matter how many times I tell myself I can sing, I don't have the grace to sing. And I need to embrace the truth that I don't have that gift. I need to let it and somebody else do it. Here's the thing. We don't want to waste time desiring what other people have. Amen. But we need to find out what we have. And walk in it and do what God has called us to do, because we have to be faithful in that which God has called us to do. Yes. Now, whatever it is, the Bible says, whoever speaks, if you're given gift to talk and to teach, as one who speaks, whoever serves as one who serves, by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. At the end of it, I'm using my gift to glorify God, and you're using your gift to glorify God. Whatever the gift is, if it helps, Yes, you do it for the glory of God. Now, there are no special gifts that we say, well, in our eyes, we say, well, this gift is cooler than this gift, and that gift is better than that gift. In the eyes of God, it doesn't work that way.
No way.
God says, if I gave you hospitality, that is as special to me as a person who can sing and people get chills when they sing. You know, it, to God, it's still the same. The question is, are you using your hospitality gift, your helps gift, or administration, or encouragement, or soul winning? Are you using your gift for the glory of Jesus? At the end of it, it's all about Jesus. That when you use your gift, you use it for His glory. I want to encourage you today that as the scripture has said, you have received, use it.
Yes. Yes.
But how can you use it if you don't know it? And that's what we've been helping ourselves here to know what we have. So we can use it. So we can flow in it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Here's what Paul said. Really, really, really powerful thing. Look at what Paul said by the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. It says, but I do not count my life of any value as precious to myself. But if only... That's important. I may do what? Finish my course and the ministry. In other words, some version says, and the calling that I have received from the Lord. You say, what matters to me is to finish, to do what I receive from. So if my calling is to serve, to help, to encourage people, to exalt people. I want to exalt anybody I find. I want to encourage anybody I find. I want to be hospitable as my, because my goal is to be faithful to the end.
Yes.
Because the reason I like that video that's just sent me out this week is because it lines up with what we've been doing. God is more concerned about what you did with your talents, with your gift, more than what you did on your own. Here we go as we finish. Now, as you step out this week, I want you to understand that He says, I'm not unjust to forget your work and love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints as you still do. We just got to be faithful. Faithful stewards of God's grace. Faithful stewards of God's grace. Whatever it is that you are able to do, do it for the glory of God. Don't seek permission. If, you know, you're a person that has a gift of helps, start helping. Well, I don't know where to help. Ask somebody, what can I do to help? If you have a gift of hospitality, start being hospitable. Ask someone in this church, people with answers here. Ask a teacher. There's a teacher here. Ask them, what can I do? They will tell you. But the point is, you can't just sit and not use your gift.
Amen.
You have a gift of faith? Begin to use it. Dig deeper in God's word. Spend more time in prayer. Because the gift of faith requires you to spend time in God's word. It requires you to be grounded in the faith so you can impart that in other people. You have a gift of healing. What good is it if you never lay hands on anybody for them to get healed? But how are you going to do that if you're not prayed up? So then you need to say, God gave me a gift of healing, then I need to get prayed up so I can minister to others. God gave me that gift, so I need to work on it. You have a gift of singing, music, get busy, get in. You can't just sit. We've had an opportunity to go to domestic violence victims down here in Othello. We went last week. You have a gift of encouragement. You want to go there every time we can go because you have a gift of encouragement and somebody out there needs your gift. You have to create time for your gift. You have to be faithful to it. You know, for us as teachers and preachers, we have to be faithful to teaching God's word. So that means we have to be digging ourselves in God's word and receiving from God, because we can't give what we haven't received from God. But being faithful in that is, I'll be faithful in it if there are 5 people, 100 people, it makes no difference, because I got to be faithful to give God's word to serve God. The whole point is, you have a gift. Now go back, really sit down, meditate on these things, and really start making a difference. Because you can never develop your gifts unless you start using them. So I want to encourage you, church. Let this not be just another series, and we move on to something else, and you don't get in the game. Because you're going to stand before Jesus. You are going to stand before Jesus. Each of us will stand before Jesus. And I know a few questions that God's going to ask us. I don't know them because God told me, but I know them because they're in the Bible. The first question would be, what did you do with Jesus? And I know the next question will be, I gave you these gifts and these abilities. What did you do with it? Did you bring glory to my name by the workmanship I made it? Did you use what I gave you to bring people to me, to bring glory to my name? Whatever we do, guys, we do it for the glory of Jesus, so that people can get closer to God, so they can come to know Jesus. I don't want us to be unashamed. I want to be faithful. I want to stay faithful to do what God's called me to do. Because by doing that, I'm serving you. By you doing your part, you're serving everyone else. And it's important that we all be faithful. That when we stand before Jesus, which every one of us will, you don't want to be like, I never did it. Now you know. You can't say, well, I missed some of the teachings. Thank God there's the internet. You can go on our website and find them. I'm just saying that you can't just ignore this and just say, oh, well, I'm just going to go to church another Sunday. No, it's time to really think about, I need to do something, what God's given me. All right?
Amen.
Let's pray.